Jesus confronted evil and conquered it wherever he found it. Let me say it again. Jesus confronted evil and he conquered it wherever he found it. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. This broadcast comes to you every week at this time over this station. Let's talk to our Heavenly Father. Our God in heaven, we pray that you will send illumination on this declaration of thy sacred word in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to read to you from Mark chapter 1, verse 22, where we find Jesus teaching in a synagogue, in a house of worship, in the city of Capernaum in Galilee. Here are the words of scriptures. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes. And there was in a synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him, he cried with a loud voice. He came out of him, and they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned amongst themselves, saying, What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. Now, I want to remind you, dear ones, that we are following the Gospel of Mark. We're not consulting with Matthew, Luke, or John to see what they had to say about the beginning of Jesus' ministry. We're simply acting as if Mark is the only gospel that we know about. Remember also that Mark was not here at this synagogue meeting in Capernaum when Jesus taught here on that memorable Sabbath day, but Peter was there. And Peter told Mark what it was all about, and then Mark wrote it down in the Gospel of Mark. The overall picture that I like to give you today for this message is this, that Jesus is a confronter of all that is evil, and he's not only the confronter of all that is evil, but the conqueror over all evil. In this message today, we're going from the specific to the general, the specific case that demonstrates that Jesus is a confronter and conqueror of all evil comes to us from this meeting, and Mark makes it the first meeting that Jesus had in Capernaum, where there was a man with an unclean spirit in that congregation. It says in verse 23, quote, And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out. Observe, my friend, in this particular case that Jesus did not start the confrontation or the conversation, but rather it was started by the unclean spirit. Notice that although Jesus went to confront evil whenever he met it, he never went on a witch hunt. He never said to his disciples, Now let us see where all the devils and demons are, and we'll go after them so we can conquer them. Jesus never did that. He never went on what we call a witch hunt. He was not called to go on the witch hunt, but Jesus was called to save sinners. So stay away from people who claim to be exorcists and who try to find a demon in most anybody and everybody. The problem with the world is that all have sinned and all come short of the glory of God. The sin problem is deeper than the demon problem. If you have no sin, you have no demons. Oh, it would be a lot easier if we could isolate the problem of evil just to a few demons and a few possessed people. But the problem of evil is universal, and the Apostle Paul says, All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and all our righteousness is as filthy rags. So what did Jesus have in this congregation in Capernaum? He had a congregation of sinners, and then on top of that, he had one sinner who was possessed by an unclean spirit. Yes, very few sinners have demons, as you see here. And this man with a demon, as he saw Jesus coming into the synagogue, began to cry out with a loud voice, disturbing the church service. And nobody could hear what Jesus said or focus on what Jesus said because of the disturbance that this man with an unclean spirit made. Now, you ask me, Pastor Schulze, is this really a demon or is it an unclean spirit we're dealing with here? Well, the Greek expression tells us here that this unclean spirit is the same as a demon. And all the scholars call this a demon. So let it be settled with that. Now you know also this is a demon, a person, an unclean person, because he spake up, he cried out. He was not to be shut up by a human being on the face of the earth. Let me read this verse again. And there was in a synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out. Looking at this from other passages in the scriptures, one gets the impression that most likely this other man living in this member of the congregation, this other person, this demon, never threw a temper tantrum before in that church, or perhaps in any church, until he was faced with the presence of the Holy Jesus. For had he been known to act this way before, he no doubt would have not have been allowed to enter the synagogue or the church again. So you can have a demon in a person sitting in a congregation. You can have them be there week after week and year after year without anything ever happening, without this spirit, without this demon ever being revealed to that congregation. Until, my friend, the holiness of Jesus and one of his saints moves into that congregation, and when that occurs, the holiness of God meeting up with the foulness and wickedness of hell, my friend, present in the demon, there will be reaction. There will be a reaction. As long as there's darkness in the church, sin will be hid. But when the light is turned on, watch out. So we see there was in a synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, oh, my friend, the reaction of the evil spirit was not mild. It was not subdued. It was not controlled. It was not controllable. It was violent. He cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. Listen carefully. As Jesus, by his very presence, revealed the demon, so the demon revealed Jesus at this meeting as to who Jesus was. And my friend, the revelation of Jesus by this demon was complete. It is possible to assume that the first revelation that ever was made in any congregation of worshipers in the history of the church and the ministry of Jesus was a demon. Now listen to the completeness of this revelation that this demon had as to who Jesus was. So here is what he said. I'm reading to you from the Bible. It says, number one, quote, what have we to do with thee, Jesus of Nazareth? Unquote. Here, first of all, the demon or demons revealed that Jesus was the Son of Man. Later on, he says he's the Son of God also. But here he reveals Jesus as the Son of Man. The demon had been tracking the Lord Jesus all the way from his birth, and he had been tracking him as he worked all these years in Nazareth as a carpenter. He had been tracking Jesus all the way to this house of worship in Capernaum. And now he revealed to people that Jesus was indeed the Son of Man coming out of Nazareth. Thou art Jesus of Nazareth, he said. And secondly, the demon goes on to say, I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. So in the second phrase concerning Jesus, the demon identified Jesus as being the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. He calls him the Holy One. Both of these words are in capital letters, Holy One of God. Isn't it amazing that most likely, from what I can tell, the first messenger who announced Jesus from within the congregation during Jesus' public ministry, who announced Jesus as to who he was a demon or demons. Then the third revelation that the demon gave to this congregation is that he stands in a congregation where Jesus is, and then he's telling the congregation what plan Jesus had for the likes of him, for demons. So the demon says, art thou come to destroy us? The demon knew that Jesus' plans were for him and the likes of him to be cast into everlasting darkness. My friend, I want you to know today there are real demons. The fallen angels became demons. They're real. And my friend, I want you to know there's a real hell. Many Americans don't believe in a real hell anymore. And many of them that do believe there is one They believe that the wicked, the unbelievers, will only be there for a certain time, and then eventually everybody's going to make it to heaven. Dear one, I want to give you the scriptures, the word of God. My conscience is captive to the word of God. So let me give you a passage of Jesus from Matthew chapter 25. Here Jesus is telling a parable, and he ends it like this. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. So this tells us here that the fire of hell is an everlasting fire. Hell is forever. And that hell is prepared for the devil and his angels, that is his demons, who are the fallen angels. Now you say, well, Pastor, I'm not an angel, and I'm not the devil, so I'm not in danger of hellfire. Look at this passage from the Revelation. It says, And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So this tells us that all those whose names are not written in the Lamb's book of life, in Jesus' book of life, all those, no matter who they are, will, with the devil and his angels, be cast into the lake of fire, the everlasting lake of fire. So you want to be sure that you, my friend, know the Lord Jesus Christ and serve him every day. Well, I was in Colorado recently on a vacation. I met a man. I talked to him about his faith, and he had a Presbyterian background. He was an engineer, and now he was retired. And after I shared with him for a little while, talking about death, this intelligent man, who had at least 60 years of his life to think about death and the afterlife, said to me, Well, I just hope there's something out there for me when I die. Well, my friend, there will be something out there for you when you die. It's time, high time, for you to find out what it is, and if it's not what you like it to be, it's time for you to make a major change in your life. That means repent and believe the gospel and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life. Oh, it is incredible how educated people can spend their whole lives without giving any serious thought about eternity, their eternal destiny, and how so many in our churches going there Sunday after Sunday don't have the slightest idea what's facing them once their tongue can speak no more and their eyes can see no more. Dear friend, Jesus is a mighty conqueror. Let him conquer you. Let him conquer the evil within you, and let him be Lord of lords and King of kings. Father, we thank thee for these moments together. Pray that, Jesus, you will turn a light on for every one of us, that we will see what is within us. If there's any evil within us hidden in the deepest recesses of our souls, of our hearts, we want it revealed. We want to be cleansed from any spot and blemish and wicked thing that hinders us from walking with God. We're thankful, precious Savior, you came into the world to save us from sin, to confront evil, and to deliver us from it. To thee be all the praise and honor and glory. In your name we pray. Amen. If you like to know more about our ministry and find some more resources of helpfulness, please contact us on our website, www.schulze.org. Again, that's www.schulze, that's schulte.org. You get more information there on discipleship training. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. Goodbye now until next week.